Once progress starts, we begin to grow careless about our confessions of faith and interaction with Christ in worship over the truth. We start relying more on experience, more than our source, who is Christ, and the means of receiving that abundant life into us, which is reckoning. What happens? Defeat comes in. Situations we thought we had completely overcome start reasserting themselves. We get discouraged and waver in our hope and expectation. And what happens is, this is what happens to people's faith project. Go and meet what happened. Listen, go and meet someone's faith project. He started the faith project. First 2 weeks was confessing, was worshiping. They got to a point, small signs started coming out. They left all the confession and worship. That's why your life must be structured. You have to develop, listen, no matter what's going on the outside, your time of fellowship, your time of with the Word of God must be structured. All right? Even if everything, if you say, I pray 10 p.m., even if you get the biggest deal at 9 p.m., at 10 p.m., you say it's time for prayer. Are you following what I'm saying here? Do not put your faith in anything on the outside. Your faith must be solidly in the Word of God, the written Word, and in Christ, right? The living Word. So, the calculated failure is used to cause us, all right, from going beyond that early infant enthusiasm to a place where we settle down on explicit truth and we get, all right, established in the Word. In every area of our spiritual development, is one thing to begin on a new plateau, is another thing through faith and patience to inherit the promise. If you are going to inherit the promise, it's through faith and patience. Somebody asked me, was watching this from America, and said, Pastor, when you get an assurance, can you lose the assurance? Or is it that the assurance was not right? I said, my dear friend, you can lose the assurance. For the Bible says, hold fast your confidence from the beginning to the end. Many people think that when something went wrong on the outside, there was something wrong with what they heard. There is nothing wrong with what they heard. It was their expectation of how it will happen. The sad thing is this. Many of you were 3 steps away from it when you walked away. The sad thing is that you had done the work up to 3 steps. But your expectation was that from now, because my first 3 steps were like this, the next 3 steps must be like this. Not knowing the next 3 steps must be like this, and then like this. David, because by the anointing you killed Goliath, okay, with sling and stone, the next test doesn't respond to sling and stone. This is a cave experience. The enemy is not defined. It's not in front of you. It's not like the bear and the lion. Where is the enemy? Comes and goes. The same boss that gave you the job, the same boss that promoted you, is the one working where you were testifying. Favor, favor, favor. That's why people who have worked with God are very silent. When someone says, my vision, they just keep quiet. So, okay. Then when they see the person after 2 months that is quiet, they know you've learned now. They don't talk like that. In this business, they don't talk like that. And how have you increased your warfare? Then people are calling you. That vision you said, what about that vision? They leave me alone. Leave me alone. All right. So in every area of our spiritual development, it's one thing to begin on a new plateau, it's another thing. To cause truth, this is what God wants, to take hold of us and for it to become a living part of our lives. The Holy Spirit will remove the token of experience from us, but leave us only with the knowledge of truth. You know what happens? You now get discouraged. Jesus was born in a manger. There was no announcement and celebration. That didn't determine the outcome. The greatest man that ever lived Do you get what I'm saying here? You know, Africans, we like to convert spiritual things to, you understand this? So let's go on here. Now, I haven't got anyone I want to say. I'm just building up for this. So God wants truth to take hold of us. So here is what happened. At the beginning, you tasted of the Lord. Let me tell you what happened. If I bring food and you taste it, you know, it says taste of the Lord. Doesn't mean you ate. Do you get what I'm saying? Taste. Look. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. This is what we're saying. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. If so be that you have tasted of the Lord that is what? Gracious. It's one thing to taste food. It's another thing to eat and digest. So God says it's now time to eat my word. Do you get what I'm saying here? Okay? During that difficult time, that's where you start taking in the word of God into your system. That's where when you start confessing God's word as a two-edged sword, it starts going into your being. Because there is nothing else but God's word on your lips. Are you following what I'm saying there? You are now eating of the word of God. You are now eating God's word. You are eating the word of God. Right? You are declaring the scriptures. You are eating the word of God. It's going into your system. Nothing is changing on the outside. But as a two-edged sword is piercing into the dividing asunder of your soul and spirit, your joint and marrow is going in between everywhere, entering into every part of your being. When it enters into you, you get to a place of rest. Even though there is nothing on the outside, you are solid. Nothing can move your heart again. Are you following what I'm saying? Which means that signal on the left, signal on the right, nothing. Your heart is at rest. Your heart has been circumcised from the experience on the outside. Your heart has now entered into a place where there can be true worship and rejoicing without any anxiety. Your heart has been separated, all right, from anything. So you enter into the place, all right. At the beginning, you got into the office and they said, so how many clients have we gotten today? Right? Now you hear God's word, hear what I'm saying. And it says, well, we got 15. Wow, 15. Wow. 15 guys. That's good. That's good. You tell them, Jesus. Didn't I tell you guys? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You've said that. 3 days after you get again, how many clients? None. Your heart sinks. You have not entered rest. Are you following what I'm saying? You've not entered rest. What happens is, people get depressed at that point and go and sleep. People get depressed and wonder what's going on. They go and watch a movie to try to get that depression off them. Do you get what I'm saying? People get depressed at that point. This is what we're missing. It's not this highfalutin. People get depressed and then they go and start eating. Do you get what I'm saying? People get depressed at that point. Some even go into iniquity briefly. That what happened to God? People get depressed at that point. That is when the word of God, as a two-edged sword, will pierce into your heart. That's where you labor in that word. That's where you now sit with the word and start confessing the word. And start confessing the word. You know what happens? What happens is as that word enters into you, that sorrow of it, of zero clients that day, lifts. You feel better that night and you go to bed. You think, hear what I'm saying? You think, you see, it's like a, you know what a root canal treatment is? Huh? Where they are dabbing. This is the death, burial, and resurrection. The death is where you are crucified. The burial is rest when there is silence. Huh? Then after silence, so that labor phase is to get you into rest. Which means in that labor phase, you are crucifying the flesh. Then you get to the place of burial. When nothing is happening, but you are now at peace. Next thing is going to happen, without any effort on your part, something is going to pop. And it is eternal. It is an everlasting sign that cannot be reversed. But you must be honest with yourself when you are laboring that I have not yet entered into rest concerning it. If you've not entered into rest, don't expect any manifestation from God. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't expect any manifestation from God. Be honest. So you go to the office the next day. How many clients? They say 8. You are encouraged. Your heart is still not at rest. Then, you know what you do? They say 16. You know what you do? You don't confess the word that night because 16 people have come. You stop confessing. Until the next time you hear 2, then you go back again. You get what I'm saying? You have to be consistent. 16, you still be confessing your word. I won't be taken by anything on the outside. You are confessing. That word is cutting things. Next time you go, they say one person came. You know when you've entered rest, it doesn't change anything. One. And you say, praise the Lord, man. Let's prepare for what God is bringing. So you are a solid person. The word of God has entered and is shaping your character. All right? Okay? The next day, you go there, 3. You are still confessing. Confessing. Right? You are reckoning yourself. Right? You are declaring the word of God sharper than any. That's what God wants to produce. He doesn't want us to be flaky. He doesn't want us, all right, to get to the point where he blesses you on the outside and you are spending more time with the blessing than the blesser. Let me tell you the truth. If there is true circumcision inside your heart, and God even blesses you, let's even say he gives you a private jet or gives you a Rolls Royce. Let's say that there's a thing on material. Yeah, no, you are in a massive house. All right? And you know, you go to places, you are in the best hotel in the world. It really doesn't make any difference. If you go somewhere and they say this is the bed, you will sleep on it. If they bring that room 120K, well, because Shalak does it, you enter. Because are you following what I'm saying here? You are detached from it. You are a solid person. Right? That's the process that God wants to take us through. And it's his word that he wants to use to do that. So, it tells us, let us therefore labor. All right? Many people say that, well, I'm just resting in the finished work of Jesus. To rest, you have to labor. Don't say, I'm not doing works again, I'm just resting. You cannot rest without laboring. You labor to enter into what? Rest. Which means when you enter into rest, inside your heart, nothing. The word of God has cut out every fleshly thing that is going on, all right, on the inside. It has entered into you. So let us therefore labor to enter into rest so we don't fall after the same example of unbelief. So what am I saying? The time where, right, things begin to go wrong on the outside is when you should now, you know, say, okay, it's now time to start getting the word of God into my system now. I tasted of the Lord, now I want to eat of Jesus. I want to start partaking of the divine nature. All right? I want to start doing that. Okay? This is the place. So you begin to, all right, reckon on God's word. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, and you are declaring God's word. Okay? It gets to you. Let me tell you the good thing about the word of God. If I had 2, and I got depressed, and then I put the word of God on my lips and it lifted me out of that position, you will never get depressed again if you hear 2 for the rest of your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Which the next time, if you go tomorrow and say 2, your heart doesn't shake. Now, it's like a root canal treatment here. They want to deaden the tooth. All right? So what they do is that they are puncturing. So the word of God is going through. Okay? They're going. After some time, right, give you anesthesia, and then so you don't feel anything, right, to kill it. But they have to check whether everything is dead. So the next time you come, they open it, and while the thing is alive, they will say, you have not entered rest. Okay? You heard 5, you still move. You have not entered rest. When you enter rest, you have died to anything on the outside. A dead person, nothing can move them. All right? It says, we have played music, you didn't dance. We have mourned for you, you didn't do anything. Nothing changes. It is the word of God This is the truth of God's word. All right? It's best this conversation is going only between your heart and God. Do you get what I'm saying here? Because if you've gone to announce your vision, then more people will come and tell you, so what's happening? What's happening? I mean, I thought by now, and people's statements can cut you. I remember when I started ministry, thinking about things. Somebody one time, people parked and they stole something from somebody's car in the booth because there were just about 7 cars outside. I know when Satan wants to get to you. So the person came inside. I said, but why did you park there alone? He said, but I assumed that more people are going to come and park behind me. And it's almost like saying it is your own failure. All right, but let's get into it now. We're not there now. So the practice now. Now the key is Hebrews chapters 4 from 6 to 16. This is what we need to do. Seeing therefore that we must enter in, and to them who was first preached, enter not because of unbelief. Now, Paul wasn't saying we should enter into manifestation. He said we should enter into rest. All right? Manifestation is God's business. Rest is your own pursuit. Are you following what I'm saying here? The kingdom of God is as if a man will cast seed into the ground. That's what we're saying. Get the word of God into you. It says then he will sleep and rise, and it will spring forth and grow, he knoweth not how. So it's God's business to get it to spring forth and grow. It is your business to get the word into your heart. That's your business. Okay? So it says this. Again, in living in certain days, saying, David, today after such a long time, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If Jesus is, then he went on. Let us therefore, verse 11, labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder. And that's what begins to happen. The word starts piercing on the inside. Joints and marrow, a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things lie open and naked unto the eyes of whom? Seeing that we have such a high priest, it says, that has passed into the heavens, let us hold fast our profession. That's what it means, which is, profession means saying the same thing as God, confessing that word. Hold fast, all right, to that profession. Hold fast, all right, to that confession. You say, but, Pastor, there are times where the curved ball is so deep that I just want to give up. Then it tells us, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Which means the grace of God will come during that time if you go up in prayer. So praying is also involved in this. All right? Which means I'm declaring the word of God and I'm praying for that strength to come from God. Right? So grace comes in and I'm confessing the word of God. I'm doing that. And God's word is working on the inside of me. God's word is working on the inside of me. God's word is working until I enter into that place there. All right? Of rest concerning it. So three things we've got to understand. Number one, we've got to know. And then the second thing is we've got to reckon. Then the second is that we now abide in that word and we rest in it. And then the third thing is that then there's a demonstration of the Spirit within our lives. Now, two things are involved in reckoning. All right? Reckoning. Number one, the written word of God as being true. Now, get this. True with your confessions, which means I'm confessing the word of God that has been shown me as being true. Then the second is I am yielding to the living word of God. We explained this yesterday. And this is what I want to zero in on. And I will tie it with the work that that word is doing on the inside of you as you are confessing it. The purpose of the written word of God, central purpose, is to show us who the living word of God is, which means God has chosen to reveal himself to man through the writings of the scripture. In order that when a person gets the knowledge of God from the scriptures, they can now fellowship with God correctly. In other words, God's real purpose is that people should come and worship him in spirit and in truth, right? Which means he doesn't want you worshiping an unknown God. He doesn't want you singing, all right, songs to him that don't, you know, that's not fellowship, that don't represent, you know, anything. So he wants to reveal himself to us so that when we can yield ourselves to God in a correct way. So there are two things: our reckoning, which is our confessing, and then the second thing is our yielding ourselves to God as one that is alive from the dead. Now, I said this yesterday. The written word of God is to introduce us to the living word. It is when we meet with the living word in his presence that results come. Jesus said, you search the scriptures, which is good. Thinking in them, you have eternal life. But they are they that testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might get what the word has promised you. So the written word of God is given to us to introduce to us who the living word is, Jesus and the Father, so that we can come to the Father in a true worship. And when we come in true worship and in praise and adoration, that contact we make with him, that fellowship we'll make with, that we have with him, is what produces the result. John said it this way: these things have we written, that you might have fellowship. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. So the purpose of the word of God being given to us is that we might be able to fellowship. Which means God gave his word to that woman, your foot shall not be taken. So that woman can come and worship him. And worship him as the great healer. One, all right, who has, you know, who has stopped death from walking in a body, all right? Looking at life and saying, I will have been without a foot, but now because of you, and worshiping him. Now, when you are worshiping him in that state and you are singing, that's when the healing power goes out of Jesus into that foot and rectifies it. Are you following what I'm saying there? But here is the point I want to say. You cannot worship God in spirit and truth if there is anxiety. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the work of the word of God in your soul is to bring you to a place of rest so that your worship can be pure. You hear what I said now? If you got that, you got this message. Listen, if you got that, you got this message. Because what happens is when you get into true worship, you enter into the reality of the thing. You touch it. Your fellowship with Jesus in the reality of thing. All right? All right? And as far as your heart is concerned, that thing has already happened in your life. When it happens on the outside, it doesn't impress you again. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm saying when the word of God enters into the deepest part of your being, when you enter into worship, you handle that thing like this. It is not theoretical. You have it. All right? There is no agitation again. You know, you have entered, all right, into the fulfillment and the reality, right, of that particular thing. So we hold fast our confession, affirming that truth. We come in prayer to obtain. One old evangelical, before I get to the other side, said this. Some have been betrayed into professing perfection or full deliverance, because at the time they speak, they are happy and they are confident in the Lord. They forget it is not the present experience that ensures fruit to maturity, but patience, continuance in well-doing. He said to taste of God's grace is one thing. To be established and manifested in character, habit, regular life is another. Experiences and blessings, though they are real gracious visitation from the Lord, are not sufficient for us to rest upon, nor should they lead us to glory in ourselves as if we have grace for the time to come or that we are at the end of the conflict. Every day, you are there with the word of God. So success in our faith starts with a right foundation. That is the knowledge of what the scriptures say about what we are expecting God to do. It has nothing to do with probability. Our Bible is the only means by which God, we can ever know anything personally about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. However, we must go further and understand that the written word of God was designed specifically by God to bring us to know the living word and therefore to enter into fellowship with the Father and the Son. Much failure. This might be the most important thing I will say to this session. The failure in our faith and confession practice is due to erroneous expectations. And that is, we are delivered by belief only in the written word of God. In other words, we believe that we are going to be, follow me what I'm saying here, delivered just by our confession of the written word of God.
Thank you for listening.